take it.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for tuning in once again. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. My name's JD. We are live. Today is the 24th day of March. I cannot tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat room. It's so nice when I get up and I get into the chat today and Full House is in there. I get a little nervous when Kev's in there because, you know, I'm trying to keep my show up to the level that some of the other hosts here have got, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, trying to reach the high water mark that Kevin and Marty throw down on their show, as well as Joe and Popeye and Aaron and Melissa. Holy cow, this is a lot of work, ladies and gentlemen, trying to keep up with some of these other hosts here. And the fact that they take time out to hang out with you guys in the chat room, just so awesome. Cannot thank you guys enough. We do have the best listeners in the world, so there's probably not a better chat room on the planet to hang out in, especially if you want to actually expand your mind, learn some new information. This is the place to do it, ladies and gentlemen. And we do this every single day here, Red Pill Reports, and you can follow us by going to redpillreports.com and checking out the page. At the top of the page, we always have new pertinent information every single day about the guests that we're going to have, as well as all of the news that we try and bring together from around the world, let you guys know exactly what is going on. I got to say, today's show is going to be spectacular, and I'm not just saying that. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, has developed a new type of science, and this to me is ultimately fascinating. Her name is Sharon Lynn Wyeth. She's written a book called Know the Name, Know the Person, and I'll tell you what, she has created this science called Nemology, N-I-E-M-O-L-O-G-Y. She graduated with a degree in mathematics and was a teacher and educator for a very long time, and started to realize that there were some generalities that she could draw from just simply knowing somebody's name. And so she has developed this system called Nemology, which essentially can take someone's name and tell you an awful lot about them, about their personality, the way they think, the way they're potentially going to behave. And she's actually been so successful with this program that Fortune 500 companies hire her to kind of go over their prospective clients and prospective employees. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is some interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So today, of all days, is going to be a day that you're going to want to call in. You don't have to give her every single bit of your name, but a first name and a last name, the number from your last name, the first letter from your last name, I think will be enough for her. But I'm telling you, she's a remarkable, remarkable person, and I really think you guys are going to get a kick out of this. I want you guys to make sure you get some questions together. Obviously, so many questions come to mind. You know, what about nicknames? What about shortened names? Does it work in other languages? What about crazy people like me that have multitudes of middle names? You know, how does all that stuff affect people, and how accurate is it really? I don't know, but I'm telling you, this is going to be an amazing show. Tomorrow, Clint Richardson's going to be back on the program again. I had a lot of people asking to get him back on the show ASAP. His website, obviously, Corporation Nation, and we're talking about the corporate nature of the United States in a very candid way. Kind of follows up with what Roger talks about on his show, which follows mine every day, Monday through Friday now. And I'll tell you, Truth Frequency is just coming together, ladies and gentlemen. This place is just booming, and it is. I can't imagine where we're going to be 5 years from now with the host that we've got here right now. Anyway, so Clint will be here Wednesday. Deborah Tavares is going to be here Thursday, one of my all-time favorite guests ever. She brings the most up-to-the-minute information on which agencies specifically are trying to pass new legislation to mess with your life. I read last week that the EPA, we already had a few stories come out last year about the EPA cracking down on wood-fired stoves and things like that, everybody freaking out. Well, the EPA just last week decided now barbecue grills. Yeah, barbecue grills. That's going to be that's going to be the new focus of the EPA is the discharge from your barbecue grills and how awful that is for the environment. So obviously, kind of coincides with the, Codex, what is it? The, Kodak Alimentarius, you know, this whole, moving away from meat thing, moving away from, being able to do anything for yourself, the Nanny Nation. We're just kind of moving forward with that. So again, Deborah Tavares brings us all of the latest information on where we can expect this pressure to be coming from. And, I think they're important conversations to have. There's not about fear mongering because nobody's trying to sell you anything. But again, a lot of people out there will profess to be advocates for one another. But until we find out who the adversaries are, how can you be a successful advocate? So that's why we bring Deborah Tavares on the show, because she will point out and not, shy away from naming names. She will say, these are the evil people and they should be burned at the stake. And we all agree with her most of the time. So, definitely looking forward to Thursday's show. Friday's show, another high water mark here at the Red Pill Reports. I gotta tell you, I don't know how Robert and Fletch, the two other co-creators of Red Pill Reports, do what they do, but the guest list that we have here is just staggering. L.A. Marzulli, going to be back on the show on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be talking about the Nephilim and the Watchers and the Elongated Skulls, and we'll probably talk a little bit about spirituality as well. You know how we like to do it on a Friday around here. So buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a great week. Really appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat room. Hang out there for the rest of the show. I would hang out there all day at this point now. I mean, honestly, with the lineup we've got here at Truth Frequency, why ever turn it off? You know what I mean? It's just all good all day, all the way into the late hours at this point. So cannot tell you guys how appreciative I am. You guys sharing the show and sharing the website with your friends and anybody who's out there supporting us or supporting Truth Frequency. Again, cannot thank you guys enough. Okay. That's probably about as much stuff as I need to talk about right now. I do have a little bit of a follow-up from Joe's show last night. Joe was talking about civil asset forfeiture, a.k.a. theft. There's really nothing else you could say. I mean, it's theft. I don't know what else to call it. So there has been a state in the union that has actually done something about that. So when we get over into the national news, I do want to talk about that. But we've got more situations developing between the United States and Israel we need to talk about. Obviously, the Ukraine is still under the spotlight at this point. ISIS is making some moves. And something kind of cool, I don't know if it's kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool. But a secret Nazi hideout was found just yesterday. And and probably it wasn't just found yesterday, but the report came out about it yesterday. And we'll talk about that, where that is, and does it coincide with some of the conspiratorial type theories out there. Spoiler alert, yes. Yes, it does. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go moving on to the news right now. As promised, got to talk about Israel right now. Obviously, the situation between the United States and Israel is reaching this kind of climactic standoff type point. And I think the first crack really came about yesterday. The White House chief of staff, his name is Dennis McDonough. He made it pretty clear yesterday that the crisis between the Israeli and U.S. relations over the issue of a Palestinian state has not dissipated, despite efforts by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to clarify remarks that he made late in the election campaign that no such state would be established. Remember, just the day before the election that happened on the 17th, Netanyahu came out and said on his watch there would never be a separate Palestinian state. Okay, so again, Dennis McDonough, who is, again, the White House chief of staff, he came out and he said, we simply cannot pretend that those comments were never made. He said this at a J Street conference in Washington. He also warned Israel's next government not to consider unilateral annexation of any West Bank territory, saying it would be both wrong and illegal, and that America would strenuously object. Strenuously object, that's another notch up on the, feverishly object. We usually have a different quotient of objectivity. And so strenuously, that's like a whole new, that's like a DEFCON 2-1 move, you know, or whichever way makes it more serious. That's what that is. Israel cannot maintain military control of another people indefinitely, he said. Just stopping right there to bask in the irony of that statement, as, again, will the White House chief of staff saying that Israel cannot maintain military control of another people indefinitely, said an occupation that has lasted for almost 50 years must end. He denied claims that the administration's re-evaluation of its approach to the peace process stemmed from President Barack Obama's personal peak with Netanyahu, but he did describe Netanyahu's remarks before the election as troubling. McDonough called into question Netanyahu's sincerity regarding the now proposed two-state solution. He says after the election, the prime minister said that he had not changed his position, but for many in Israel and the international community, such contradictory comments call into question his commitment to a two-state solution, as did his suggestion that the construction of settlements had a strategic purpose of dividing Palestinian communities and his claim that conditions in the larger Middle East must be more stable before a Palestinian state can be established. I think we could all probably hold our breaths forever because stability in the Middle East, how long have we been waiting for that? What, like 2,000 years now? Okay. Anyway, he says we cannot simply pretend that those comments were never made or that they don't raise questions about the prime minister's commitments to achieving peace through direct negotiations. So McDonough did not address the possibility that the focus of a peace process would move to the United Nations. That would may indicate a softening of the position compared to what was said immediately after last week's election results became known, but said that Obama would never stop working for a two-state solution despite the difficulties. He also said he also detailed what the U.S. believes the arrangements would be if we did come to some kind of peace ordeal or a peace deal over there, and they would be borders based on the 1967 timelines with mutually agreed swaps, security arrangements, and a sovereign and sustainable Palestinian state, which is definitely something, if you've been listening to the Red Pill reports, I'll pigeonhole myself right now and say I totally support that because I'm not going to get off on a whole Israel rant right now, but I don't support dropping bombs on anyone for any reason whatsoever unless it's out of self-defense. I know people will say, well, Palestine shot rockets at them, but at the same time, let's talk about this story real quick. Here's a story that just came out of the Times of India, but this is from their UK affiliate branch there. And this is the British government talking here. They say that Israeli settlers are colonizing Palestinian territory under the guise now of moving into areas to protect historic archaeological sites, according to, again, the British government. Ministers say they are now concerned that the Israeli government agency in charge of preserving historic artifacts is undermining efforts for peace in the region by working with a group of radical settlers. The Elad is the name of this settler group, known for aggressively colonizing Palestinian areas, including evicting Palestinian residents from homes in urban areas. This report goes on to say, we are aware of the link between the Elad settler group and the Israeli Antiquities Authority. We are concerned that this link has led to the Israeli Antiquities Authority's support of radical settler activities in and around Old City under the guise of tourism and protection of Jewish history. This was the conservative foreign office minister, Baroness Annaleigh, and this is again from the British government there. He said such actions not only aggravate mounting pressure in East Jerusalem, but serve to increase tensions around the Temple Mount, Haram al-Sharif, and further complicate future attempts to negotiate a political resolution in the city. Elad has previously paid the Israeli Antiquities Authority to dig very deep trenches near the foundations of Palestinian homes and mosques in East Jerusalem. Palestinian residents of the area blame the excavations for the collapse of a number of their buildings, including the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. last week, Elad settlers were reported to have entered an East Jerusalem apartment building lived in by Palestinians and removed the belongings of the people who lived there. The residents of the building, a woman, had been summoned to a local police station for questioning at the time. So in a statement, the group said the property belonged to them and that it was exercising its rights. So Israeli settlements are clearly illegal under international law, and the United Nations has repeatedly told the country's governments to vacate occupied Palestinian territories. Human rights groups have also criticized the settlements, which Amnesty International says are responsible for a myriad of human rights violations. The Israeli Antiquities Authority is an official agency of the Israeli government. Just pointing that out. Also want to go back now to just point out the fact that Israel and the United States both decided to boycott a UN human rights inquiry into Gaza and the West Bank. So again, the U.S. and Israel boycotted a UN Human Rights Council session on the Palestinian territories. And the council is probing the 50-day war in Gaza that killed more than 2,200 people, mostly Palestinian civilians. So the United Nations Human Rights Council's incoming chairperson said Israel had continued to bar access to the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and that investigators needed more time now to finish their report. She says the commission has done its utmost to obtain access to Israel and the Gaza Strip, as well as the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. This was Mary McGowan Davis. She is a UN Human Rights Council chairwoman. And she said this just yesterday. She said, "We would very much like to meet face to face with the victims and the authorities in these places." Davis, she is a former New York State Supreme Court justice. She replaced the Canadian international law expert William Shabas, who resigned last month under Israeli pressure. And Tel Aviv had questioned Shabas's impartiality as a law professor had prepared a legal opinion for the Palestinian Liberation Organization back in 2012. Davis said the turnover in leadership and late-breaking testimony from witnesses forced to travel to neighboring countries in Geneva means that the commission now needs until June to finalize its report. Both sides, though, are under scrutiny in this situation. Israel came under intense criticism for its conduct during the 2014 Gaza War that killed more than 2,100 Palestinians, mostly civilians. Even though the report is not expected until June, Makarim Wibizono, who is a special reporter on human rights in the occupied territories, gave a hint of what is to come. He says the ferocity of destruction and high proportion of civilian deaths destruction and high proportion of civilian lives lost in Gaza cast serious doubts over Israel's adherence to international humanitarian law principles of proportionality, distinction, and precautions in the attack. But not all the blame was laid at Israel's feet. Flavia Panzieri, who is Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, said that armed Palestinian groups operate with impunity against civilians and provoke Israeli aggression by targeting Israeli civilians. So the actions of the Palestinian armed forces in Gaza, including indiscriminate rocket fire into civilian areas in Israel, firing from densely populated areas, locating military objects in civilian buildings, and execution of suspected collaborators also constitute clear violations of international humanitarian law and human rights law. Again, this is Panzieri speaking in remarks published Monday on the UN's website. So representatives from Israel and the United States both absent from the proceedings. And despite the resignation of Shabas, Israel continues now to call for the inquiry to be shelved, saying it is biased against the Jewish state. It cut all ties with the council 3 years ago after it began to probe on how the expansion of Jewish settlements in the Palestinian territories violate human rights. Relations were partially restored last year, but Washington, for its part, criticized the council's work, saying again it unfairly targeting the Jewish state. Okay, I'm going to rant for just a quick second here. I just got to point out, I'm not trying to minimize the 6 million Jewish people that potentially or allegedly died in the Holocaust. I'm not a revisionist. I don't know what happened. You can go whichever way you want to on that. I would point out that 6 million Jewish people that did die in the Holocaust pales in comparison to the nearly between 50 and 100 million, depending on estimates, of Native Americans that died here in Central and South America. So, if the other side of the coin or the other argument that I've got against this whole concept is that they're using this fear of racism to basically say we have to establish this state for ourselves because we're not going to be safe unless we do. But they're using racism to justify their own existence because they're saying that they're the chosen people of God. How, I'm not anti-Semitic, because I don't necessarily believe that Israel, certainly not the government there, has anything to do with actual Judaism. When your actual parties of your offices are labeled Zionist Union, it doesn't take a real genius to figure out what your motif is there. Israel saying, because of racism, we've got to have this established state and because it's the only way we're going to be safe. But their justification for needing to be safe is by saying, we're God's chosen people, which to me is like the most racist thing that you could possibly say. So again, I'm going to put this offer on the table to all the fine, wonderful people of Israel. We've got plenty of room for you right in the middle of Nebraska. We can take your whole nation, pick it right up off the ground, move everybody here, plant you guys right in the middle of Nebraska. There's nobody there. Nobody's going to care. And I got to be honest, too. You'll be safe. Nobody's going to go after you. And there are a lot of Cornhusker fans out there that will tell you that the eastern side of Nebraska really, truly is God's country. So perhaps maybe that would be better for everyone. That would make all the war cronies happy. Israel would be safe. We wouldn't have to be bulldozing people's houses. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. You guys are more than welcome to come and live in the middle of Nebraska because, you know, nobody really lives there anyway. And there you go. So anyway, let's move on. That's all I'm going to say. Breaking news this morning coming out of France. This is a tragic story here. A passenger plane flying from Barcelona to Dusseldorf crashed in a remote and mountainous area of southern France, according to officials just this morning. The Airbus A320 was making a flight for Lufthansa, which is the low-cost arm of Germanwings. It crashed near a small mountain village of Barcelonnette in southern Alps. Distress call was made by the aircraft at about 10:47 a.m. while the plane was in, quote-unquote, an abnormal situation. So I don't know what that means, but that's what the that's the only information that we're getting right now from the airline. So again, the French Transport Ministry said abnormal situation and the crash happened shortly afterwards. The aircraft disappeared off the radar at about 11:20. Plane dropped 11,500 meters or about 7,000 feet in 9 minutes between 10:31 and 10:40. So all right away, you have to start thinking here mechanical error. The distress call was made to air traffic control in Marseille. Mayday, mayday, mayday. So the pilot did request an emergency descent, meaning all the airspace below him had to be cleared. So gentleman knew something was wrong with his plane. It's obviously not a terrorist act or something like that, and he wasn't shot out of the sky. So I'm just kind of like going over what we do know for sure. But let me think here. At least 142 passengers and crew, six crew members were on board. Spain's deputy prime minister said 45 passengers were believed to be Spanish nationals, and a spokesman for the French Interior Ministry said the passenger manifest is now being verified. But the plane crashed at 2,700 meters in the Alps in the commune of a name I can't pronounce in an isolated area of small villages and hamlets that are very difficult to reach, apparently. So the debris is scattered right now over 2 square kilometers. And the French weather station said the meteorological conditions at the time were calm. And the accident said the sky was completely clear and no almost non-existent winds. So again, well, obviously, what did I say obvious? I'm sorry, Lex, did I say something was obvious? Well, I'm thinking it wasn't terrorist attack because the guy got out he got out of Mayday and was able to communicate to them that something was going on with his plane. It was a relatively uncontrolled descent. I don't know. Plane is 25, 24 years old. And has been with the parent Lufthansa since 1991. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. We'll have to wait and see what the manifest says. But doesn't look super suspicious right now. I'm just saying, putting it out there. But obviously a tragedy. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family members of the people. But it does not look like anyone on this flight survived. So absolutely tragedy. News coming out of the UK also right now. Everybody has been following the pedophile case. Kev did such a great job breaking that. I know a lot of other hosts have been talking about this pedophile case that's gone on in the Hampstead situation and whether or not it's been real, whether or not it's been not real. I'm still on the absolutely it was real side of the fence on that until someone really tells me otherwise. But there's also been a lot of stories kind of floating around about investigations on the behalf of Scotland Yard that never really went anywhere. A lot of people kind of getting close to the blade in terms of these and higher ups and these investigations getting shut down. And there's been a lot of back and forth, but apparently as of yesterday, the Scotland Yard itself is now being investigated over these extraordinary claims that the police officers were guilty of suppressing evidence, halting investigations, and colluding with politicians to cover up a pedophile network operating in the heart of British government. So at last now, the spotlight will fall on senior officers who have been accused of turning a blind eye to allegations of murder and child abuse because the men were considered too powerful to touch. The Independent Police Complaints Commission, Britain's version of the Internal Affairs Division, announced yesterday that they were now investigating 14 alleged incidents of corruption between 1970 and 2005. The alleged breaches were uncovered by detectives who were probing the existence of a VIP pedophile ring that was allegedly protected by the Thatcher government. These allegations are of historic high-level corruption at the most serious nature, said Sarah Green, who is the IPCC deputy chair. Allegations of this nature are of grave concern, and I would like to reassure people of our absolute commitment to ensuring that these investigations are thorough and robust. The hunt for officers who protected child abusers comes after a growing body of evidence emerged to suggest that some of the most powerful people in Britain were aware of the systemic abuse of children and did nothing to stop it. The investigation into police collusion in the cover-up promises to be one of the most explosive in Scotland Yard's history. Kev right now in the chat room throwing up some of his work that he has done on the Hampstead satanic pedophile cover-up ring situation. Absolutely unbelievable. Do please go check out Kev's website. The guy does such great work, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm doing everything I can to try and keep up with the other hosts around here. Oh, man. But anyway, hopefully we're going to see something happen in terms of this pedophile ring and reaching far up into the government there. I'll tell you, when they come out and say things like this pedophilia situation is woven into the fabric of the British tapestry, boy, I'll tell you, that's a concerning statement. And again, these people are evil, evil, evil people. And I don't want to get off onto some kind of goofy religious rant here, but there are people out there that do horrible things in the name of religion. All of them, not just the big ones, you know, but some of these people are in seriously high positions of power at this point. And a lot of them probably attribute their ascension to these high places of power to these absolutely horrific things that they do on their free time with their good close friends like Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein and all this stuff. The level of depravity is astounding to me. And I agree with some of the people in the chat room right now saying stuff makes my skin crawl. I know it might be a little early for all this, but at least we've got good news and that Scotland Yard is finally going to do something about it. So I know Kev will stay on top of that. He's kind of our go-to guy. Okay. All of you guys, appreciate you being in the chat room right now. We've got to go to a 3-minute break. We got so much more news to come back to. And again, Sharon Wyeth is going to be on the show here in about a half an hour. You guys are going to love this. Wherever you are, make a TFR. Go Team TFR. Love you guys. We'll see you.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Let's hop back into the news right now. I've got to go over my favorite story of the day. I'm going to start doing this every day, I think. My favorite story of the day. And usually it's because they're ridiculous. And this reminds me of this story here that I'm getting ready to go into. And it's a very short story. We're talking about Poland and the potentiality of this situation in Ukraine kind of developing, you know, further. But it reminds me of the Ebola crisis. When the Ebola crisis kind of hit and Shepard Smith stopped on the news on Fox News for like 3 minutes, and he just kind of went on camera and was like, I just want to tell you guys that there is absolutely nothing to worry about. And I'll tell you right then, I said, okay, now's the time to panic. When they come on, they say, you've got nothing to worry about. That's the time when you just know, hey, this might be something worth paying attention to. So anyway, just keeping that in mind, I was reading this article about the Polish Army. Polish Army right now is summoning up their reservists. They're filling out their military. They're bringing up their reserve forces, according to the Ministry of Defense there. And as of yesterday, the flash word was immediately. So again, as of yesterday, the Ministry of Defense there in Poland said that they wanted to immediately call up all the reserve force members to turn up for military exercises, okay? So you read that and you think, okay, no big deal. We do have to remember also that Poland was sending 24 advisors down to the Ukraine to help advise. And the United States, of course, we weren't going to send any weapons or anything to the Ukraine. But it just so happened on that same day, obviously not related, totally coincidental, we donated out of the goodness of our heart. We're so altruistic, ladies and gentlemen. That's what makes America special. We donated to these Polish advisors 45 MRAPs. Now, 24 advisors and 45 MRAPs. I was told pretty explicitly that there would not be any math involved when I started to do a radio show, but I'm still the Common Core hasn't quite sunk me to a level yet where I believe that 24 dudes can ride in 45 MRAPs. I don't see how that math works out. Anyway, getting back to this story about Poland calling up their reservists, the general there who is in charge of this reserve. First, this is the first sentence of the article. I love this. The General Paszek is his name. He said, Mr. Paszek said, I want to assure everyone that this step of calling up the reservists is nothing out of the ordinary, and it bears no relation to the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine. Wow. So like right off the bat, is it nothing to see here? There's nothing to do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to see here. Move on along. So anyway, Army is going to be calling up any male now between the ages of 18 and 60 with a satisfactory medical history. So again, not just the reservists that are being called up. We are talking about conscription going back into effect in Poland. Again, nothing to see here. Has nothing to do. Bears no relation to the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine. But again, if you're a guy in Poland right now between the ages of 18 and 60 and you don't smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, well, there's some people at the Ministry of Defense who'd love to have a chat with you right now. Just pointing that out. Also, There's some goofy stuff also going on in Ukraine right now. One thing that I was not aware of is that Poroshenko is not the only billionaire in the Ukraine. There's actually another billionaire. His name is Igor Kolomoisky, right? And this guy, who's a billionaire, he has kind of set up shop in one of these contested eastern cities there in the Ukraine, right? He's got his own security force. He's essentially trying to keep his business operations running. So President Poroshenko, as of yesterday, called on this guy to turn in all of his weapons and basically surrender to the forces in Kiev. Now, this guy, again, the billionaire Kolomoisky, he's not part of the Russian separatists. He's just a billionaire who's caught between a rock and a hard place and is just trying to keep his affairs in order, I believe. But what I thought was really interesting was that Poroshenko, in coming out and speaking against this other billionaire guy in the country, he says this, "We won't have armed personnel, security forces of businessmen and politicians on the streets of our cities. This applies to every single one of them." So again, this is the interior minister speaking on behalf of Poroshenko, again, dripping in irony here. "We won't have armed security personnel or business personnel, politicians in the streets of our cities," but that's exactly, I mean, who is Poroshenko? He's a freaking billionaire stooge that we put into power there. So, hello, pot, we're kettle, and you guys, we're all black, basically, at this point. But anyway, that's what's going on there. And then Kiev also said that it's going to stop importing Russian gas starting next Wednesday if Gazprom does not offer it a better price. This is according to the Ukraine country's energy minister. He's saying that halting supplies through the Ukraine could put Europe's energy security in limbo. So again, more crap going on between Russia and the Ukraine right now. And the new junta government is saying, hey, we can buy our gas for $50 less per 1,000 cubic meters if we just get it from the EU. So why are we still paying you guys this much? So again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. Moving on, I want to talk about, man, we're still in the international news, guys. We haven't even moved on yet. But there's so much happening. So much happening. Hang on one second. Okay, I'm back. So it might not be Hitler's famous Wolf Schanze, but researchers are pretty excited right now. They have apparently entered and are now studying an apparent hidden Nazi lair in the Argentinian jungle. Hello, everybody with a conspiratorial theory out there. His ears just pricked up. But yeah, they believe it was proactively built to house top Nazi members in case of their defeat in World War II. Researchers from the University of Buenos Aires, together with archaeological people from the museum Andres Gucciarani, stumbled across the ruins of a site that is believed to have been erected to house high-ranking former Nazi officials. The team is studying the buildings, laying in relatively inaccessible part of the Teju Serrer Park, which is southeast of Misiones on the border with Paraguay. And the cluster consists of three stone structures now covered by thick vines, living quarters, a warehouse, and a third structure that apparently served as a hidden or half-hidden lookout. And the place is believed to be strategically sought by whomever built it, as it has a panoramic view and walls that are roughly 3 feet thick, and it also has an easy escape route into neighboring Paraguay in the case that somebody might have had to quickly flee the country. Researchers also found several objects that indicate the constructions were carried out in the first half of the 1940s. Among the most significant findings are German coins from between 1938 and 1944 and porcelain from about the same period. Although that is only circumstantial evidence, right, to link the findings to Nazis, they do believe that there could not really be any other explanation of why anyone else would have put so much effort and money into building a place that is almost completely inaccessible, especially back in the 1940s, and the architecture and materials were also very atypical to the region. So the CAU scientists doubt that the Nazi hierarchy ever used these as shelters. The evidence of Nazi presidents there, though, does suggest that it was used as the stage of construction. So while it was under construction, they do believe that people did actually live there. And local legend does have it, however, that Martin Bormann, one of Hitler's close allies and the head of the Nazi Party Chancellery, used to seek refuge in this very jungle. After World War II, thousands of German Nazis, as well as Croatian and Italian fascists, were allowed to escape justice in Europe when the president Juan Domingo Perón welcomed them with open arms, and an estimated 5,000 Nazis eventually found safe haven in Argentina. Lots of rumors out there about Hitler potentially escaping to Argentina, and here we find a secret Nazi hideout complete with period correct, Nazi coins and Nazi cutlery, not cutlery. What's the word I'm looking? I can't even remember. You know, plates and dishes and such. That's what I was trying to say. Okay, moving on here. What else do we want to talk about? Probably ought to talk about this because I'm sure somebody out there who's smarter than myself will realize that this is probably fairly important. But the younger son of deposed Ukrainian leader Viktor Yanukovych died at a Siberian lake, according to the Russian and Ukrainian media reports. His name was Viktor Jr. He was 33 years old. Red flag number one. He had been living in exile in Russia. However, the Russian Emergency Ministry claims that Yanukovych's junior name was not listed with those involved in the tragedy when a vehicle apparently fell through the ice on a Siberian lake. So sources were saying that he was taking part in some kind of sporting event when the Volkswagen minibus he had been driving with five other people crashed through the ice, okay? Viktor Yanukovych just drowned. Viktor Yanukovych Jr., the five other passengers all managed to survive. This seems a little weird. So separately, information about the tragedy on Baikal was confirmed by the Russian Ministry of Emergencies, but the report did not name Yanukovych by name. So it's likely that because he's been living in exile, he might have been using a different name while living in Russia. But again, the ministry stated that on the evening of the 20th of March, a vehicle with five passengers and one driver crashed through the ice in a northern part of Lake Baikal. The bus drove on the ice against the warning from information signs because the passengers wanted to take photographs, apparently, and the area of Cape Koboi, which is where the ice broke and the bus fell through, is about 20 meters deep in that area. And again, the researchers found the body of a man in the ice, and they say that this is weird, too. The story, again, this is a translated story, so you guys have to forgive me for my mumbling here, but it also says a number of figures close to Yanukovych have been found dead in the recent weeks. So with all this stuff swirling around in the Russian area about a possible coup, we got the Nemtsov murder there on the steps of the Kremlin, and now the body being found of the youngest son of Ukrainian leader Viktor Yanukovych is kind of unusual, especially the fact that he drowned while driving a minibus on ice seems really weird, plus the fact that five other people were in the vehicle at the time and managed to escape. So how is it that he was the only person to die in this particular incident? And the also this little ancillary fact that they throw in here at the bottom that a number of figures close to him have been found dead in recent weeks just kind of gets my conspiratorial stuff kind of rolling around in my mind space. Okay, we got to move away from the international news. There's a couple other stories probably worth looking at. And if you go to redpillreports.com under the show section, you can find out more about Sharon Wyeth as well. but there's a lot of other news there broken down by section as well. So easy to go and check out there. Okay, we weren't talking, but Joe on his show last night, I hope you guys tuned into that, was talking about civil asset forfeiture, and basically it's theft. I mean, that's really what it is, where the government or some municipal agency can file criminal charges against a piece of property. And I'm not joking when I say that, like the actual court cases will be United States, blah, 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 versus $10,000 of U.S. currency. And the only way you can get your stuff back is to prove the innocence of your stuff, right? So it's ridiculous, and the government makes ridiculous amounts of money taking your stuff, really, is what it is. But good news right now. The New Mexico bill, which is House Bill 560, they are trying to restrict civil asset forfeiture, and it has now cleared the legislature. It received unanimous support in the State House and the state Senate, and it awaits now only the signature of Susana Martinez to become law. Among other things, the New Mexico bill requires a criminal conviction for forfeiture actions. It bolsters the innocent owner defense by requiring that the owner know in advance that his or her property was being used illegally, and requires that all forfeiture proceeds be deposited into the general fund rather than into the seizing agencies, and limits the ability of state and local law enforcement agencies to circumvent state law by utilizing the federal equitable sharing program, which I don't know if you guys have been following the civil assets forfeiture issue, but on a national level, the federal equitable sharing program has been severely limited. One of the only things that the most inept attorney general ever in the history of justice, Mr. Eric Holder, has actually been able to accomplish, they did change the rules on national federal equity charity program, saying that they were not going to be participating in the buying from state or municipal agencies going forward into the future. So again, I really, really want to give kudos to New Mexico for going this far and actually getting something accomplished here. And the civil asset forfeiture thing, especially when all that stuff is being funneled into corporate entities that are masquerading as law enforcement agencies, this has got to stop. I mean, that's something we really need to nip in the bud right away. So, again, kudos to New Mexico for doing that. In more legislation, I don't know if kudos are necessarily involved, but Utah, as of yesterday, the governor there, Gary Herbert, signed a law authorizing, get this, the use of firing squads to carry out death penalty sentences if officials cannot acquire lethal injection drugs. This is the only state in America now to approve of death by firing squad. And he goes on to say, this is actually the spokesman for Herbert, went on to say to The Guardian yesterday that those who voiced opposition to this bill are primarily arguing against capital punishment in general, and the decision has already been made in our state. So again, we see the Delphi dialect here. The argument is not about whether or not trying to use something like capital punishment to deter people actually works, because again, you're talking about, for the most part, when you're talking about the most heinous crime committers, talking about psychopaths don't typically have the ability to, empathy. Empathy is not a thing that calculates all in their brain space, so they don't really care. And if you don't have empathy, how can you be deterred from doing something like this? So, I don't know. So, Truth, you're saying you're totally okay with firing squad. You'd rather die by a firing squad. The other option, I guess, would be lethal injection. And part of the problem, you know, with this lethal injection thing is that the companies that manufacture the lethal injection drugs never really intended for the drugs to be used for lethal injection. So a lot of states like Oklahoma, we source all that stuff. We source that stuff from France, pharmaceutical companies over there. And once France found out that we were using their drugs to kill people, they decided they weren't going to sell it anymore, which is now where we see the shortage of lethal injection drugs coming into play, and that's why Utah has made this change to, firing squad. I don't know. I don't know if I'm really down with firing squad. That seems a little arcane to me. Is there really a good way to kill people? I mean, honestly, are we at a point in society where we still need to be doing that? I just don't know. I don't know. Anyway, okay, that's what's going on in Utah. What else is happening? What else is happening? That's a boring story. Let's see here. We're just going to blow through some stuff. Oh, ha, this is interesting. Oh, Monsanto. Love Monsanto. Just right down the road in St. Louis. Cannot tell you how appreciative I am to have them in our state. But Jeremy Scahill writes for The Nation. Does really, really good work over there. He revealed a pretty interesting little tidbit this morning in that there's been some conjecture about whether or not Monsanto did, in fact, purchase Blackwater, which is obviously a private clandestine security intelligence agency, recently renamed XE Services, and then recently, even more recently than that, renamed Academy. So again, there's been some conjecture out there, or some conspiratorial rumors, if you will, about whether or not they're owned now by Monsanto. So Blackwater, renamed in 2009, become the world's most famous clandestine intelligence service, reports of abuses in Iraq, including massacres of civilians. It pretty much remains the largest private contractor of the U.S. Department of State's quote-unquote security services that practices state terrorism by giving the government the opportunity to deny it, basically. So many military and former CIA officers work for Blackwater or related companies created to divert attention away from the bad reputation and make more profit selling their nefarious services, ranging from information and intelligence to infiltration, political lobbying, and paramilitary training for other governments, banks, and multinational corporations. So according to Scahill now, business with multinationals like Monsanto, Chevron, and financial giants such as Barclays and Deutsche Bank are channeled through two companies owned by Eric Price, who is also coincidentally the owner of Blackwater, Total Intelligence Solutions and the Terrorism Research Center. Both of these officers and directors share Blackwater, okay? One of them, Confer Black, known for his brutality as one of the directors of the CIA, was the one who made contact with Monsanto in 2008 as director of Total Intelligence, entering into a contract with the company to spy on and infiltrate organizations of animal rights activists, anti-GMO people, and other dirty activities of the biotech giant. Contracted by Scahill, right? I'm sorry, contacted by Scahill, the Monsanto executive Kevin Wilson declined to comment, but did later confirm to The Nation that they had hired Total Intelligence in 2008 and 2009, according to Monsanto, only to keep track of public disclosure of its opponents. He also said that the Total Intelligence was totally separate entity from Blackwater. However, Scahill has copies of emails from Kofferblack after the meetings with Wilson from Monsanto, where he explains to other former CIA agents using their Blackwater emails that the discussion with Wilson was that Total Intelligence had become Monsanto's intelligence arm, spying on activities and other actions, including our people, to legally integrate these groups. So again, hiring Total Intelligence, a subsidiary of Blackwater, specifically by Monsanto, to legally integrate into the groups of people, the activists and other people, anti-GMO people, okay? So Total Intelligence, Monsanto paid $127,000 in 2008 and $105,000 in 2009. So no wonder that the company engaged in the science of death as Monsanto, which has been dedicated from the outset to produce toxic poisons spilling from Agent Orange to PCBs, pesticides, hormones, genetically modified seeds, is associated with another company of thugs. Almost simultaneously with the publication of this article in The Nation, the Via Campesina reported that the purchase of 500,000 shares of Monsanto for more than $23 million by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations, which with this action completed the outing of the mask of philanthropy. Another association, again, that is not really surprising. It is a marriage between the two most brutal monopolies in the history of industrialism. Bill Gates controls more than 90% of the market share of proprietary computing, and Monsanto about 90% of the global transgenic seed market and most global commercial seeds. There does not exist in any other industrial sector monopolies so vast whose very existence is a negation of the valued principle of market competition of capitalism. Both Gates and Monsanto are very aggressive in defending their ill-gotten monopolies. So again, pretty big news there. Scahill really breaking it down for people that Monsanto does actually, in fact, contract with Blackwater. And that's exactly what we need Monsanto to be doing, right? An organization hell-bent on basically poisoning everyone for the longest time ever. They need a mercenary group. I mean, who are we to say that they shouldn't have a private for-hire clandestine mercenary group? I mean, that just totally makes sense. Anybody out there that doesn't think that makes sense, you guys are just conspiratorial, crazy people. That's what I think. Okay, anything else super important? Ted Cruz did apparently throw his hat into the ring yesterday in the run for president. We suggested that he might yesterday, and he did come out and actually do that. Just as another reminder, please bear in mind who his wife is. Again, Heidi Cruz, head of the Southwest region of Goldman Sachs, probably has more derivatives under her belt than anybody on the planet. And you just have to wonder what these people sit around talk about at the dinner table, don't ya? Okay, let's talk a little bit about the economy here right now. Keep you guys up to date on what is going on. Relatively flat markets here at the onset. 18,129 is where we are sitting at with the Dow. S&P up just a touch, still at 2,098. Dollar index really flat today, although it did kind of come up just a touch, but we're at 97.59 for the dollar index. The euro making a little bit of a climb today to 109. The Baltic index I don't have. Hopefully Truth can grab that for us. Silver, $16.88, $16.88 big pennies. Get you an ounce of silver. And gold just a skosh under $1,190. We're at $1,188 for an ounce of gold right now. Is there anything else? Yeah, probably ought to talk about oil. Still stupidly flat, $47.41 big cents. Will get you a bright, shiny barrel of crude oil right now. And Truth coming through in the clutch, 597, up 3 points today for your Baltic Dry Index. So that is important to note. Oh, man, there's a weird story coming out right now. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but there is a team of researchers now from the Geological Survey. They set out initially to figure out if they could extract foreign particles, and by foreign particles, I mean valuable metals, from human waste. And apparently they're moving forward on this program. So they realize that once it's treated, half of the human waste in the United States, about 3.5 million tons, is actually used to fertilize farms and forests across the country. But what they realize that because of the volume of precious metals in that 3.5 tons, if that had been looked at by a standard gold seeker, you know, a standard mining operation, they would be all over it. They would, it would absolutely make a lot of sense for them to try and go and, you know, pull all this precious metal out. So apparently that's what they're going to do. These researchers are going to develop a system now to go through all our recycled poop and pull out all of the precious metals. Where all the precious metals come from in our poop, I don't know. And I apologize for saying that word twice on air. I know it's early in the morning, but it's a word. You got to use it. And that's what these people are doing. They're pulling precious metals out of people poop. And it kind of goes in line with the pee power thing that we talked about the other day. Wow, we've really kind of gone downhill here in the last few minutes of the show, haven't we? Okay. Oh, let's talk about, why can't we always talk about cool stuff like flamethrowers and things like that? Anybody go out and put a down payment on a flamethrower yet? I'm seriously, seriously thinking about it now. Someone said I'm talking crap. Good story. Speaking of talking crap, I love this story. Maybe you guys don't know this. This is coming out of the tech section right now, but there are two new domain names that are going, not names, but, monikers. What do you want to call it? The URLs, like .com or .us or .gov. There are two new ones that are going to be unleashed on the world in June, and I really like these. One of them is .sucks, D, you know, S-U-C-K-S, .sucks, and the other one is .porn. I'm not really as excited about the other one. But, .sucks, you're going to be able to buy a website. Here is, ladies and gentlemen, I got to be honest with you. I know kids that I went to high school with that are retired because they were smart enough to purchase the correct domain names up front. So, who do you not like? Who out there, what did Kanye West offer to pay for the guy that got the Puff Daddy Twitter account? I believe it was $10 million, right? So there is an investment to be made here, ladies and gentlemen. Companies will absolutely fight hand over fist to keep domain names like Microsoft sucks, Microsoft.sucks, right? How much do you think Microsoft would pay if you were the first person out of the gate to get that website domain? Probably a lot of money. So just put this in your mind space that the it's going to be happening soon. This .sucks thing is going to happen. And I think that if you're smart enough, Putin sucks. Boom. There you go. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I would focus. I'm just looking at this from an investment standpoint, guys. Monsanto dot sucks. Hello, would be an easy one. There's a ton of corporations out there that people are going to absolutely want to be, to buying in on theirs. And I got to tell you, there is a sunrise period that's going on right now. And a lot of, companies are already trying to get in and purchase some of these domain names before they go public. Taylor Swift, for some strange reason, bought TaylorSwift.sucks. Yeah, I should have got that one right when I had the opportunity. But there's an investment to be made here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying. And before you know it, whatever .sucks is going to be on the internet. You could be the one to own it. And it's not too expensive. It's like $250 a year. Anyway, we got to go to this break, guys. We come back. Sharon Lynn Wyatt is here. We're going to have a great discussion.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. it is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Holy cow, we've got a full crowd in the chat room today. Love all of you people out there. I just can't tell you that enough. We have the best listeners in the world, and I tell you what, we've got the best guests in the world too. We always bring the most amazing people to the program, and I know a lot of people in the chat room very excited about this particular guest we have coming up right now. Her name is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, ladies and gentlemen. She has written a book. It is called Know the Name, Know the Person. And she has also developed a system for deciphering the meaning of people's names. And not necessarily from a numerological standpoint, but just from kind of a general how someone is going to think or behave or act based just on their name. And I'll tell you, she is an educator. She has a background in education, which I do believe is where this system kind of had its birthplace. And just a very fascinating person. And again, she's written this book called Know the Name, Know the Person, and she's taken some time out of her schedule to join us today so we can talk about this absolutely astoundingly interesting new system of science. I don't know what else to call it other than that. Sharon, thank you so much for spending time with us here on the Red Pill Reports today.
Oh, JD, this is my pleasure.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, this stuff that you have written about is absolutely as astoundingly fascinating as any subject that I have come across, Sharon. And I know that you have a pretty strong background in education, and I wonder if you want to talk just a little bit about your background and then maybe how your background kind of bled into the discovery of this. Am I saying this correctly? Nemology? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Well, I call it nemology, but it is spelled how you pronounce it, because you cannot trademark the word name, and so N-E-I-M is name in Latin, and so that's how it's spelled.
Okay, and I just want to highly recommend people go check out your website as well. It is just knowthename.com, and you can find out everything you want to know about Sharon, and I imagine that you can get her book there, but her book is also available on Amazon with a lot of very, very positive recommendations on it as well. But again, if you want to just touch on some of your background, how you kind of came into this system, and then talk about the development of the system as a whole, I think people will be really, really interested in that, kind of the groundwork stuff.
All right. Well, at the beginning of my 7th year of teaching, I started doing seating charts, and every teacher knows that how you place the kids really determines how well your classroom runs and what kind of problems you're going to have. And so once we get to know the kids, we're very careful of how we do our seating charts, because we want to make the classroom safe for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was the very beginning of the 7th year, and I was given this list of students. And in middle school, you have 5 classes to teach. And so I was in my 4th class, and I realized that I wasn't just putting down the names randomly like we usually do at the beginning of the year. Instead, my brain was saying, oh, don't put Joshua next to Julie. Together, they're going to be clowns, but separated, they're okay. And Derek's going to need extra help and attention. Put him up close. And Stephanie, put her in a seat that you'll never move her all year long because she's going to be very stubborn. And my brain was telling me all of this, and it really took me until the fourth class when all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, what am I doing? I don't know these kids. All I have is their name. And when I got over my guilt of, oh, my gosh, I'm assuming something about somebody I don't even know,
right,
and curiosity got the best of me, so I said, I'm going to write down everything I've been thinking on each of these names, and I'm going to put it away for 3 months and look at it at winter break. I want to get to know the kids for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that at winter break, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is so accurate. Now, my head, my brain is trained in patterns because I have a math major in college and I have my master's degree. And so my brain is always looking for patterns and everything. And I thought, okay, my brain has figured out some kind of pattern. Now, how do I make what is unconscious conscious? And so I started by just writing down observations about Davids because there was a plethora of Davids in my life. And I wrote all these columns of all the adjectives and adverbs I could think about each of those Davids. And I thought, okay, what's the same all the way across? Has to be in the word David. What's not the same has to be middle or last. Anyway, it was trial and error for a long time until I started seeing patterns and I could finally break it down by letter instead of just by name. And it literally took me 15 years.
Wow.
And then I went and tested it for 3 years. I quit teaching or took a leave of absence, I would say. And I went and traveled for 3 years. I went to over 70 countries and I just tested it. And I thought, if I'm wrong, people are going to correct me, and I can fine-tune the system. And so I found a little bit of nuance. For an example, in English, when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking. But in Germany, when two vowels go walking, the second one does the talking.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a German name, you have to flip the vowel diphthongs and able to get the correct meaning. You know. And then I was invited to give talks in a lot of places all around. That bad penny that just kept getting bounced around. and I gave talks and people would ask questions, and if it fell into a natural part of the development of the system, it was great. But if it didn't, I would literally stop my talk and say, wait, I want to write that down before I answer it. So in the book, I have this chapter that's called What If? And that's where all those questions got thrown.
Right.
You know, like, what if I had a number? That came up in Germany. What if I have a number instead of a name? I was called by a number because mm-hmm. they were in the Nazi concentration camp.
Oh, right.
You know, it's those kind of questions that, okay, that's not a natural falling into a regular place. So anyway, I've developed it. And so over 18 years, and people kept saying, where's more? So it took me 2.5 years to write the book. I think I rewrote it more than I wrote it because everybody kept putting their input in and I kept expanding it or extending it or getting more detailed in it. And the good end result of that is I won an excellence award for writing, which uh-huh. for a math person is really something. you know,
yeah.
But it's very explicit. It teaches the entire system. And then I have a second book in the works, which is really this is all about personality. And the second book in the works is, what does your soul want you to know? Why are you here on a soul's point of view? Because mm-hmm. it does not always match the personality's point of view.
Wow, that's interesting. And I do want to talk about the second book as we kind of get more towards that. But I really want to kind of break down some of the fundamentals in this system that you've come up with, because obviously my mind is reeling with questions right now. People are going to, I mean, myself specifically, you know, I go by JD, which is, you know, the initials of my first name and my middle name. And I'm wondering about a lot of the little particulars, you know, how does this work in terms of different languages, other, you know, people who have, names from other languages, people with multitudes of middle names, or people with nicknames, you know, people that don't have a name that's even correlated to their given names, you know, how much does the name that we actually identify with play into our personality as far as you're concerned, Sharon?
Well, name is our essence of who we are. The middle name is where we go under stress. And if we do not have a middle name, then we're the same as when we're not under stress. We don't change. And the last name represents our environment. And that's why every Jeff, every David, every name, every Susan is not like every other one.
Oh.
Because you've got the environmental influences. So I always say you have to drop the first name into the last name. But to make it make more sense, it's like saying the first name is like the ingredients in your kitchen that you have, and when you go in to cook, your last name is all the recipes you could make out of those ingredients.
Okay.
Okay. If you have a lot of middle names, then you have a lot more skills when you're under stress. And for those people that believe in reincarnation, I believe that we go there under stress because that represents the last time we were here, and that's where we're most comfortable. We've had a whole lifetime of practicing that, and that's why we flee in that direction under stress.
I mean, so by that you mean you would take on the personality traits of the person that you were named after? Is that what you mean there?
No. If it's in reincarnation, it would be the personality traits that you had the last time you were embodied.
Oh, okay.
And those people that believe in reincarnation. But I can, and that's my belief that that's where that comes from. However, the middle name is where we go to under stress. Those are the qualities we see. And you know, some people are just fabulous under stress. And other people you think would be good just fall apart.
Hmm.
But it's the qualities and characteristics in the middle name that you look at, and that's where that's what comes up when someone's under a lot of stress. And you know, stress only has to deal with time. If we had all the time in the world, none of us would be stressed.
That's right.
The minute we have deadlines. we get stressed. Oh, I gotta meet this deadline.
Yeah, but Einstein said that without time, everything would happen all at the same minute, and that would be really tough to deal with. So it's kind of one of those necessary evils, I think, you know?
Well, it's how we order things.
Right.
I think without time, we have no order.
I agree with that
as well. Okay, he asked about initials or nicknames. So what I found with those is very rarely do we give ourselves nicknames. We may give ourselves initials, but very rarely do we give ourselves nicknames. And what happens with nicknames is the person who gives that name to us is literally saying, I don't want to see all of who you are. I only want to see this part of you. And when you respond to that nickname, you're only showing that person the part of you that rests in the nickname and not all of you. When you go by initials, you're saying, I am so focused on just the qualities of these initials.
Really?
Okay. Yes, I really want to just focus and really master these. So, for an example, in the initial J is brilliant, okay, absolute brilliance and intuitiveness. And sometimes the person's uncomfortable with their intuitiveness until they get older, but it's absolute brilliance. And so then you couple that with just the initial D, my divine letter. Because it says, I have to rise and follow the highest of what I know.
Holy cow.
Just by going by those two letters, you're going to say, I want to use my brilliance. And the J also, for anybody whose name starts with a J, says, I'm here to learn to follow my own lead. I cannot be a follower of somebody else. I can get information from others, but I need to follow my own lead. And so you're going to be using your brilliance, following your own lead, and following the highest you know. And that's where your focus is because you're just using your initials, JD.
Wow, that is overwhelming, Sharon. And I don't want to, I'm not going to come on the air and like toot my own horn by saying that that's incredibly accurate, but that is incredibly accurate, Sharon. I mean, like that's frighteningly, ridiculously accurate, all the things that you just said. Well, then let's take the opposite side of that coin. If I had gone by John, J-O-H-N, and I'm also wondering, too, if there would be a difference between John spelled with an H or John without an H.
Well, one of the differences, every letter has a lot of gifts and a lot of challenges in it. And one of the differences in J-O-H-N, that H-N says that that person will always look younger than their years.
Huh.
And so if you just do it J-O-N, you lose that. You don't get to look younger than your years.
Right? Wow.
Okay, so that's one of the differences. The other thing is, one of the other positive traits in the H is that you always land on your feet. You can really mess up, and you will always land on your feet.
Wow. Man,
you know,
this is...
So if you're throwing that H out, it's like saying, okay, I can mess up, and I did it, and I don't benefit from this at all.
Right. Okay, so I guess I want to try and figure out a little bit more about, you know, we're talking about each individual letter having its own power, but I got to stop first of all and just let you know that, you know, I was an opera singer in college, and the fact that you used the word diphthong earlier was just absolutely made my heart flutter, because I haven't heard that word in a really long time. So kudos to you for just even throwing that into the conversation. But anyway, getting back into this idea of the power letters and things like that, how does this work? I mean, how do you know that each individual letter has its own specific positive and negative to it, and how do they change as they're put next to each other in different ways? It's like, how does the science actually unfold in terms of the phonetics of a name?
Okay, you have to learn the alphabet three times: first letter position, middle letter position, last letter position.
Okay,
because the first letter position gives us a first impression that we have with anybody. The last letter gives us what we talk about behind their back first. That's our lasting impression. And then we have the middle letters that take longer to see those qualities in a person. Okay? Plus, you want to learn the first vowel position. So there are six first vowels, A, E, I, O, U, and Y. Mm-hmm. And each of those, just the first vowel, gives us our communication style, how to upsell it, what our learning style is, what kind of gifts we like, the phrases that we use. I mean, there's so much just loaded into that first vowel. But there's like a handful of qualities and characteristics with every letter. Then, as you put the letters together, they can make new things. For an example, the ST combination. S is what I call school smart. You can learn anything if somebody's right there next to you and teaching you and making sure you've got it. And the minute you catch on, it's like, go away, I got it, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the T, and I'm only giving you the Reader's Digest version of each
right,
letter.
Right.
So then the T is I need to be at the very top of whatever I do, and I need to be athletic. I need to get physical. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't be at the top, then I don't even want to go there. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to stay at the bottom.
Right.
If I don't think I can reach the top of the ladder, I'm not even going to start up the ladder. So those are individual qualities. Now, when you put the S next to the T, it adds new qualities, which is stubbornness, if you look at it from the challenging side, or persistence, if you look at it from the gift side. So those are the people that have the ST that can get through the medical school, and they can stay on that project forever when everybody else is giving up, because they're very, very persistent. On the other hand, they can get very stubborn and get in their own way, because they don't want to change their mind. So every letter and groups of letters has the challenge and has the gift. And
wow.
So you watch the combinations to see which side are they playing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we playing the positives and our gifts and sharing them, or are we working out our challenges?
So you could actually look at someone's name them and know whether or not they're going to fit into like a business situation or be successful as an artist or something like that, just based on their name potentially.
Yes. For example, there's different HR firms that have me on retainer. And one firm in particular from Australia had me on retainer. And for 6 months, every Monday for an hour, he worked with me. And they were expanding. And he said, here's our list of applicants. Who should we interview? And who do you think we should hire? And for 6 months, his team, they didn't know Boss was doing this, his team would go through the applications and read everything and then interview everybody and then make their recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And with only one exception, we matched every single time. The difference was I do it in 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
And I would just look at the name. And the one time that we didn't match what his team's recommendation was is I said it's going to be really close between these two and you can't go wrong with either one and there's such minutia of difference. However, I would go with this one over that one because of this one thing that you're not going to find in an interview. It's not going to show up. And that one little thing, I think, might make the difference between the two.
Right.
And his team came back and recommended the one that had the little thing. And he said, you know what? You've been so accurate. I'm going with the other one. And 2 months later, he was telling me how pleased he was with that person.
Oh, funny.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So now I get to train his whole group at hire. So it's really fun, but I have some different companies that literally call me. I have some different lawyers that call me and say, this is what the case is about, and what do I want to look for in the jury's names, so that they're sympathetic to my case.
Sharon, is there a history of name, you know, deciphering like this, or is this something like, is this a rediscovery, or is this something that you actually discovered and really came up with by yourself?
I came up with it with a lot of spirit help, because I would go to bed thinking about it and doing all the patterns and all the recognition, and then literally at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up with ideas. Try this. Maybe it could be this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was trial and error and testing. But I had a lot of early morning wake-ups that said, have you thought about this? And I wanted to, different people told me about numerology and whatnot, and I said, I'm not reading anything, I'm not doing anything, until I get this system complete, because I don't want to be influenced by something else that's out there.
Right.
Okay. So once I completed it, then it was like, okay, I'm good. You know, now you can talk to me about it. There have been a naming in different cultures, the history goes back, and the importance of naming and what names mean. And my friends, again, who believe in reincarnation, said I had to have done this or known this way back whenever, because not, I wouldn't have felt so pushed to figure it out and recreate it. That's
right.
How they're looking at it.
Well, and that makes sense to me, because it's like when the scientists discovered the DNA molecule, they knew that they were right because they couldn't in their right minds really imagine something like that into being. It had to be right because it was right. And, I mean, in listening to some of the things that you're saying, it stands to reason that, after all this trial and error, and especially given the fact that you're on retainer with these, large companies, I mean, obviously your track record must be good, and there must be quite a load of credence to this entire system, or, you know, it wouldn't have taken off the way that it has. So to me, the whole thing is just absolutely astounding. And I want to ask a little bit more just about specific names, if that's okay with you. I've got a friend, that I was talking to this morning. His name's Robert, and, he went by Bobby growing up, and actually was talking to me about the fact that as he was growing up as a Bobby, everything was working out just hunky-dory all the time. Everything was coming to fruition. And, then kind of later in his professional career, he started decided, you know, I want to go by Robert because it sounds more professional. And things maybe kind of got a little rocky there. And so a lot of his family and friends have started to revert back into calling him Bobby now. And, you know, bottom line is the guy's lost. He doesn't know what to call himself. So do you have any advice for somebody who might be in that type of pickle?
I only make suggestions. I don't add advice to anybody's life.
Roger that. Oh, wow. Well said, Sharon. Well said. Oh, I knew I liked you. Well said. Okay. Please continue.
Okay. So now without the last name, I'm just going to give you the generic Bobby and the generic Robert. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the name Robert, from them what they don't want to give. Okay? So, you have people taking advantage of you. You have theft occurring. You have people taking credit where your credit is due, but they're going to take it. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You have people from you what you don't want to give. You have emotional, I want to call them meltdowns. You can just, something can hit you, and instead of being able to handle it on an emotional level, you go, oh my gosh, I'm sunk. This type of thing.
Uh-huh.
You also have perfectionism in the name Robert, where if it's not perfect, it's not good enough.
True story.
And there's a lot of things, like buttering a piece of bread, that you can do good enough, and it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, but for a Robert, that perfectionism is right there. Also is rebelliousness, you know, and you don't want to be told anything, so you're not using all your listening skills.
Mm.
There's a lot of challenges in the name Robert.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah,
I want to just mention is the last name starts with an L, just in case that matters.
Okay, good. Thank you. That helps me.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, so now notice that the O, the first vowel, is the same in both.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Some of the qualities of the O is they have an abundance of love. And they have magnetic personalities. So they draw people to them. They are like the CEOs of a company. They need to work for themselves or at least have autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They can work as the head of any company because they can juggle all kinds of things all at once. So he retains that, being able to nurture and look out for others and expecting loyalty between the Robert and the Bobby. That remains the same.
Okay.
Now, let's just look. So I gave you the challenges that are in Robert that have to be overcome. So now let's look at the name Bobby. Bobby says, I'm the best at what I do. I'm charismatic. I can get to the top. I can beat anybody out if I want to. I am likable and charismatic, and I can get along with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're looking at, for business, Bobby is at the top of his game.
Really?
But a Robert is going to struggle because they want to take credit for what he's doing.
Wow. Okay, what about the ultra-shortened version of just Rob?
Okay, look at what that name says. Just look at what that word is.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Okay.
You know, it's kind of like you go, hello, you're making it twice as hard.
That's funny. Well, okay, so he's now officially changed his name back to Bobby officially. And what's funny is that he actually corrected me while I was telling the story, and he said, no, Rob is when it actually could have gotten really rocky. And that's really interesting that you don't even have to look at that word. You just look at the word. That's enough of a definition right there for you to just try and avoid that. That's really, really interesting. Or Bob, I guess I should say. Is Bob the same? What do you think about Bob?
Bob is good. The Y at the end of the name is really interesting. Let me share this with your listeners, please. So many parents change their kids' names to something that has a Y on the end when they're growing up. And the reason for that is because Ys are charismatic. They can sense the room or who's there and what parts of them that person's going to like, and they morph so that they can literally get along with anybody. So when a parent changes a name from Bob to Bobby or you know, Cynthia to Cindy or any of those Y, they're literally saying, child, you need to be concerned with pleasing me, and you need to make sure that I'm liking you, so you need to change.
Wow.
You need to become more likable and more charismatic. So as an adult, when the Y is on the end, it literally says, hey, I've had all this practice, and I can get along with anybody, and I can please anybody. The Achilles heel in that is I need side approval. You know, my own approval isn't good enough.
Right. Wow.
But they can get along with anybody. And when I was doing my research, sometimes for 3 years, I just traveled and taught and did a lot of research. And so in between gigs, every once in a while I'd have a week off here or there, I'd take a cruise. And what I started noticing was that the people that are servers and waitresses that on the cruise ships that you're working with, literally 90% of them had their first name, the last letter, either an A or a Y, because those are the two letters that it's the easiest for us to like those people. Okay. Now, the guys that cleaned our rooms, the guys that did other things on the ship, they didn't have those A's and Y's, but the people that were waiting on us day in and day out with food, like I said, 90%, I started tallying,
This is so fascinating, though, Sharon, because it's kind of like having a secret Dakota ring for the world that nobody else has. When you just, I mean, you can make impressions about people that are going to be generally accurate right off the bat. I mean, how much time would that save us going through anything that we're going through these days? I am ultimately fascinated by you, Sharon. We've got to go to a 3-minute break. We come back, I have lots more questions. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you guys would like to call in and find out more about your name or about potential names of your kids, this would be the great time to do it. We were going to go to the 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. Hang out in the chat room. And Sharon Wyeth is our guest. We'll be right back.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now, only at HealthUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The Kev Baker Show.
Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out in that 3-minute break and for all of you guys hanging out in the chat room. Absolutely love having you guys in there. If you guys have questions for Sharon Wyeth, that would be a fantastic place for you to put them. Again, we're talking about her book today, which is Know the Name, Know the Person. You can go to knowthename.com and you can order a copy of the book there, or you can go to Amazon. I'm sure Barnes & Noble probably carries it as well. Cannot recommend this book highly enough. I love topics like this that are just a little bit out there and a little bit different, but seem to be backed up by trial and error. It seems to be a pretty accurate system so far as we go along, and very thankful for Sharon to join us today so we can continue with this discussion. I am going to open up the phone lines if you guys want to call in and ask questions about your name or about prospective children's names. The number to call is 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884, and that way you guys can talk to Sharon if you'd like to. Appreciate anybody who would like to call in. Phone lines are open, and also chat room is open. Holy cow, we already have a caller. So Sharon, I'm going to skip over the question that I was going to go to for just a second, and I want to hop on the phone lines if that is okay with you. So just bear with me just one second. Looks like I have a caller on the line. Hello, caller from Bark River. You are on the air with Sharon Wyeth. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah, hi. Very interesting show, JD.
Thanks.
I like it, Sharon. I do have a request for a guest, but first I'll do the name thing.
Okay.
The name Catherine.
And how do you spell that?
And it's K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
Okay. Do you want to give the first initial of your last name?
Oh, sure. L.
R-Y-N and L is last name. Okay, Sharon, what do you think about Catherine L with a K?
You came to learn how to lead other people. So you're very good at leading, but you shy away from leadership roles at different times. But when you lead, everybody benefits, and that's what you came to do. You have a tremendous capacity to take in a lot of information at once, and you're very observant. What happens is, you catch 96% of what's going on. You only share about a third of that. But at night, you go home and you go, why did I miss that 4%? What do I need to do differently about that 4% so I don't miss it again? And you beat yourself up because of that 4%. And yet at the same time, you know you did okay because you got 96. Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are really happy when they only get 50% of what's going on around them. And so one of the challenges in your name is to have positive self-talk instead of always going for what was wrong and how do I make it better. And there's really good things to do with what's wrong and how do I make it better without beating yourself up at the same time. You're very good at conflict because you were taught to have self-confidence, and you've got where people can come up in conflict, you know, have conflict with you, but you're very good at handling it, and not a lot of people are. The other thing that's just fabulous about your name is you've got quite a good memory. You know, you'd just be an awesome leader if you'd want to go in that direction.
Wow. Catherine, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I'm pretty shocked, actually. What if the previous name was Kathy? Would that be making a difference then? Because my business cards, I went to Catherine.
It would make a huge difference because Kathy's are not nearly as strong as Catherine when it comes to leadership.
Wow.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. Can I have a request of a guest?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Catherine. Go ahead.
There's a website. It's called Dutch Sins. Have you ever heard of that?
What was it? I'm sorry?
Dutch Sins.
Oh, Dutch Sins. Yes. I'm a follower of Dutch Sins. He lives in St. Louis. He does absolutely epic work. He will not go on to a radio show, period. I don't know why. I reached out to Dutch, even here, and when I worked at the Power Hour, actually reached out to Dutch, and I totally agree. He would be an absolutely astounding guest. He won't do it. He's not interested in doing radio shows. So
that's too bad.
I know it is, because he's a fantastic, fantastic researcher.
One other guest, if I can ask you about this one. How about Gary Yantis?
That's a name I don't know, but I'll be more than happy to look it up. Yantis.
So last name is Yantis.
Okay. Well, let's just stop right there and ask Sharon. Sharon, do I want to have a guest on named Gary Yantis?
He would be very interesting. He's gathered a lot of information from others. He is a factor for change. He has a lot of fairness issues and very likable. I would say take the majority of what he says and test the rest against your own belief system.
Roger that. All right, Catherine.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for calling in, Catherine. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and
thank
you for being a listener. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to jump on to another phone call, if that's okay with you, Sharon. That was absolutely wonderful. I appreciate you being so willing to talk to guests. Looks like I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, caller from Ohio. You are on the line with Sharon Wyeth. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, JD. It's Jeff.
Oh, hey, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Oh, fine, man. Hey, Sharon. Hey, I wanted you to do my name, if that's okay. I'll give you her entire name. It's Erica with a K. Her middle name is Lynn, Lynne, and last name is Fletcher, Fletcher.
Okay, doing the wife's name. That's a risky venture. So I commend your spirit, sir. Go ahead, Sharon. What do you think?
Her middle name is stronger than her first name. And when middle names are stronger than the first name, often you'll find that that person is a procrastinator because they want to put themselves under stress and able to get the best work out of themselves. So just know that when she procrastinates, that's her goal, and that's why she's doing it. She's all into making the world a more beautiful place, and so touch is very important to her. She can tell from sight whether something looks good on somebody or not, or whether the aesthetics of a place is, you know, conducive with harmony or not. She's made herself very likable. However, she's not going to change who she is to get liked. So if somebody doesn't like her, she says that's their fault, not mine. I'm good. But she is going to, as she gets older, rise up and to want to take more and more command or more and more knowledge on her own to really become her own person. And so that's really important.
I want to say that she's a detective and a very good listener, and she gets to the bottom of everything. She can tell you a lot about different people that she meets that they don't tell other people.
Jeffrey, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, that's pretty much spot on.
Right.
And I've noticed that about her as she's gotten older as well. The thing is that she is in her position, current position, she's starting to take on more responsibility. It's something that she wants to do. And, she loves to learn, and she's a very intelligent person as well. So, I love hearing that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool.
I was going to say she's very independent. Don't tell her what to do. Always ask, because if not, she doesn't want to do it, even if she did before you told her.
I'm laughing in the background because I know that Jeff's going to corroborate all of this. It just makes me giggle.
Hey, Sharon, when you look at couples, how does that interact with one another? Like, you know, Jeff or Jeffrey, you know, versus, you know, Eric. I mean, have you done any research into that?
Oh, absolutely, because we do that a lot, and that's why the third edition of Know the Name, Know the Person is out, because I added a chapter on how do you compare two names. It took me a while to figure out how to describe what I'm doing so that people could understand it from the written word.
Uh-huh.
But when you compare two names, you can really see where the compatibility is and where the issues are going to be. And the coolest thing is whatever problems in the name or challenges in the name, the solution is also in the name. So if somebody just does a minor tweak, they don't have to do that. For an example, on Erica, if you ask her, she's more than amicable. But if you tell her to do something, you're going to get that whole rebelliousness piece up, and now I don't want to do it. You know? So just remember to ask and not tell. I mean, it's really easy. And so you can compare between the two and see how the communication is going to go or what needs to take place so that they'll get along. I believe anybody can get along with anybody if you just understand where they're coming from without judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, thanks, Sharon.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Jeff. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. And Sharon, we've got another caller, one of our all-time favorite callers. This will be Fran from North Carolina, who I fully expected to call. So you guys will get along great. Hang on one second here. Fran from North Carolina, you are on the air with Sharon Wyeth. Go ahead with your comment or question, please.
Well, hey, folks.
Well, hi.
Hey, I have a question for her.
Okay.
For people that have the name of a stone for their name, how does that function? And an example of that would be the name of a stone called like obsidian or opal or whatever.
Okay, good question.
Okay, any time that there's a word within a name, besides doing every individual letter and then the diphthongs and then the consonant clusters and working your way through the name, you also pick out the words that are in the name because the person takes on some of the qualities and characteristics of that particular word. So if it's a stone, they're going to take on some of the qualities and characteristics of that stone.
Interesting.
So if someone has like a name of obsidian, then what does that convey then?
The names of the cities you figure out the same way you do the name of a person. But this is the quality of the city.
She was asking about the stone called obsidian, I believe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't
That's okay.
Clearly. It's really interesting because the OB, like an obsidian, like an Obama, means Gnosticism.
It means,
oh, my gosh.
Gnosticism? Is that what you said?
Narcissism.
Oh, narcissism. Okay.
They're narcissistic. So, you know, I mean, again, you look at the letters, and then obsidian is really a grounding stone, and so it helps keep you grounded, but it's all about you.
Wow.
Okay. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. There you go,
so
Fran.
Much.
Anything else, Fran?
Just tell me where the nearest tranquilizer or shot of media is.
I hear you. This is heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff, but I think this is super fascinating. And I appreciate your phone call today, Fran. I'm gonna go ahead and
have a great
kick
one.
You back out there. Yeah, thanks. Anybody else who would like to call in? Phone lines are open for Sharon. Man, just ultimately fascinating stuff, Sharon. I absolutely love this. And I gotta ask then the obvious question, or maybe it's not obvious to me. Or to other people, but is there such a thing as a perfect name? And can we please touch on the name Jesus Christ? Just for the sake of doing it, I want to talk about whether or not a perfect name could exist and whether or not that one might actually be it.
Okay. I look at a perfect name as a name that is well-balanced. In the challenges in the name are the gifts there that can handle the challenges.
Okay.
So, in other words, is it a balanced name? So there's thousands of balanced names out there, because you have the gifts that are necessary to meet the challenges that are in your name. And without challenges, we wouldn't grow and we'd be lazy. Okay?
Right.
So that to me is a perfect name. I have seen names that have really been scary to me. Like when I was doing this fundraiser up in Washington for a school, and the kids would come up and give me their names.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that was a date raper. And, you know, everybody's listening when you go to say the name, and I want to be positive. And so I did him last of his group. And I literally looked at him and I said, you know, your lesson here is to think about what your actions are going to affect somebody else. And I first said, well, we see in your name you really like touch. And all the boys that were hanging around were like, ah, ha, ha, because they knew what he was up to.
Wow.
And I said, you know, the whole lesson in your name is, can you think of somebody else and how your actions are going to affect that person before you choose to do your action? And if you can start doing that, you might stay out of jail. And then it was like, next, you know, I'm done.
Right.
You know, so there are names that are incredibly challenging. Right now I'm looking at names. I'm working with getting permission from their patients just to give me their name and give me their diagnosis of what's wrong. And because I'm looking for patterns, the health related patterns that are in names. That's my current research.
Wow.
Okay. So then you asked me to look at Yeshua.
Yes,
okay,
thank you.
Jesus was the Roman version
of Yeshua. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you.
Okay, mm-hmm. And I loved how they replaced the Y, which is the most dynamic of all the first vowels, into a J, which is absolute brilliant. So they were really honoring him when they were trying not to honor him, which I think is hysterical. But anyway, the Yeshua says that the wise are always trying to find out more spirituality, trying to learn more spirituality, and they're going after truth. But it's a spiritual truth, okay? And the E in that position says, I have compassion and I have emotion behind, and I can relate with people on an emotional level. And so the YE is like, we're going from spirituality with compassion to help raise people up. Then the SH, the S is smart, and the H is what I call my holy letter. That means that you are in alignment with God and you're going to go in the flow. You're going to get on the boat and you're just going to go wherever the river takes you, because you're going to trust God to take you down the river where you're supposed to be.
Wow.
And then the SH combination is freedom. And people with an SH in their name, you cannot put them underneath your thumb. The minute they get out from underneath your thumb, they're not coming back. They're running. Freedom, they'll leave and they'll return.
Right.
But freedom is the most important thing. And then the U in that position is a sense of humor. And it's imagination, to think beyond what other people would consider real. And the A, and there's that likability, but I'm not going to change who I am to get liked. And the UA combination says I will use my brilliance and humor to the benefit of humanity. So that is a really special name. I mean, it's a wonderful name for who he was.
Absolutely unbelievable, Sharon. That is so insightful. I mean, just unbelievable. And I guess, I mean, obviously we can't say that there's a perfect name, but I'll tell you what, that was perfect for the context that it was in. Just unbelievable, Sharon. Wow.
Right.
Okay. I got to jump back onto the phone lines. We're getting a lot of calls today. A lot of people want to speak with you. I really appreciate all the callers today. Let's jump out into the phone world here. Caller from Alabama, you are on the line live with Sharon Wyeth. Go right ahead with your question or comment, please.
Is that me?
That is you, sir, yes.
Okay, thank you. I would like to give you a name of a very complicated person. And without biasing you, Sharon, in any way, let me just give you the name and the spelling and let you run with it, if you don't mind. First name, Russell, with two S's and two L's, goes by Russ. Middle name, Ellis, with two L's. And last name, Rosser, with two S's, R-O-S-S-E-R. And just see what comes to mind.
Okay. First, somebody who wants the truth, and, you know, we all define truth our own way, but he'll fight for what he believes is true. He's got a good sense of humor. This is someone who likes to know what's going on all around him. He wants to know everybody's business. He's not a gossip, because some people will know everybody's business and tell everybody. But this man is not a gossip, per se. He just wants to stay very well informed. He has fabulous writing skills. He'd be very influential with his writing. He's got a good imagination. Now, he can use that imagination to the benefit of writing and being creative, or he can use that imagination to not always be what you and I would call ethical or honest. Hmm. Okay? And he can go either way. And I really think that as he gets older, he's going to become more and more honest. I think from his last name, he was not necessarily taught truth, or what he now has discovered is truth. And so this is a man who's going to be growing as he gets older. The warning in his name, which I think is very interesting, is he can be misdiagnosed by doctors. And I hope you pass this along to him, that if he's ever in a medical situation where they want to do something drastic or give him medicine, for him to get the second and third opinion and do his own research before he agrees to have something done, because he can be misdiagnosed, or if he's in the hospital, has somebody there with him so they don't read the wrong chart or give him the wrong medication. And so that's a very important warning that's in his name.
Wow.
And now in this name, of course, there appear to be no words, but there's double S in the first name, double S in the last name, and double L in the middle name. And what do you think about Russell going by Russ?
When he goes by Russ instead of Russell, he's saying, in Russell, I have a huge ego. And when he cuts it down to Russ, he's saying he's trying to keep his ego under control so it's not offensive or obnoxious to others.
Huh.
Okay. And when you have a lot of, when you have a lot of the same letters, when they're together, I read them like a consonant cluster. Okay. And so it gets an additional meaning. But when you have a whole lot of the same letter, it means you're learning those qualities and characteristics on different levels. So if you have only one of a letter, it means you're learning those qualities and characteristics on the physical letter level. When you have two, it means you're learning, have three of the letters, it says you're learning it, those qualities and characteristics on the mental understanding of those. And on, when you have four, it means on the spiritual understanding. And the minute you have five of the same letter, it says you're here to teach those qualities and characteristics.
Wow.
What are those qualities and characteristics of the S's and all those R's and all those L's?
Well, the L basically is self-confidence. So it's how do you have a sense of self without letting it become egotistical or arrogant? Okay. And it's also your writing skills when you have the two together, and he's got that twice. So he would just be an awesome writer. I hope he's going in that direction. You know, because a lot of times we have gifts in our name and we never touch them. It doesn't mean they're not there. It's just we don't choose not to use them. The S is basically is intelligence, school smart, being able to piece things together, being able to use old information in new ways. So with all those S's, he would be incredibly good at that. And the R, the Reader's Digest version, is rebellion and truth seekers. And I happen to love R's, because what I have found is the people that have rebellious spirits and those, they're not as gullible. They don't take everything at face value. They go figure it out for themselves. They go, oh, that's interesting. Let me go check that for myself, type of thing. And they have really good discernment abilities over time. So the more R's you have, the more of a truth seeker to get the real truth and not the purported truth, and the more discernment you're going to be developing. I happen to think R is a wonderful letter simply because I see a lot of people that don't have discernment. Now, there's different letters that can combine with the R that takes that away. Like when you have a UR combination, those are people that don't have the discernment or they're struggling with discernment. So you learn everything in its purity, but then you got to learn how it plays with its neighbors.
Wow, this is so great. I'm going to have to let you go, brother. I got to let you
go. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you calling in today. I just have a lot of other questions that we need to get to, but I appreciate you calling in. And, Sharon, thank you for taking that on. People were wondering, though, if you could do a couple of famous people's names. Obviously, Barack Obama is somebody that people are questioning about. I have a lot of questions about whether that's actually his real name, because obviously a lot of people think it's Barry Satoru. But do you know anything about either of those names? And also, somebody in the chat room was asking about Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm wondering if you have any insight on any of that, any of those stories, names, et cetera.
Yeah, let's start with Benjamin Netanyahu. His name says that he has gone through so many personal struggles and so much soul searching that, and when you drop his first name into the last name, it says that he came out with wanting a better world for everybody, and he was given all the tasks and the qualities that he was able to do this. He wants an organized, systematic, hey guys, let's make an agreement and keep to the agreement.
Hmm.
You know, so he would personally be very much bothered by people who break agreements. Because his whole name says, I'm here to make the world a better place. So that people can be independent, and this man in his name is absolutely brilliant and competitive, but I want to tell you, he needs time alone.
He needs
time alone because he's had so much stress in his life or so much emotional stress or learned through emotional hardships that he needs to always be able to have time alone to keep his emotions in check.
Hmm.
Okay, and that's one of his biggest challenges. Very competitive, very competent man.
Okay.
And he wants to be the top of his game. That's highly important to him. It's been stressed by the parents. Be competitive, be at the top of your game, and be smart about it.
Roger that. Okay.
Okay. When I look at Barack Obama's name, I've already talked about the O being narcissistic. When
right.
I first heard his name, I said, hey, guys, this guy's narcissistic. I do not know one thing about him. Do we want a narcissistic man as a president? I mean, that was my question I was asking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't listen to news and TV and all that stuff. So I was like, do you want somebody with that quality or characteristic? In Barack, it says he has a quick mind, that he's very sharp, he needs a lot of alone time, and he's learning how to be a better person. Okay?
Okay.
In Barry, he's still learning how to be a better person. He still needs his alone time. He's got a lot of rebellious nature. I'm sure I happen to feel that nobody can get into politics and go very high unless they've got some handlers that are helping pull the strings behind the back.
Agreed.
And he needs a lot of private time away from handlers to decide what he's doing and how he's doing it. I think he would be very hard for a handler to handle.
Hmm. Okay.
Because he's got too much rebelliousness and too much alone time to reconsider and rethink things. He's also a fighter. And in Satoru, I think it's really interesting because in the name Satoru says, I don't care what it takes, I want to be famous.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And it's, I've got the leadership skills, I've got the smarts, I've got the charisma, and I want to be famous and I want to go to the top.
Unbelievable.
That's what that last paragraph says.
Wow.
And in Obama, it says, I want to look more nourishing and caring than I am. I only want to do as much work as I have to.
Right.
And I want everybody to like me.
Oh my gosh. Sharon, we are out of time. Thank you so much for this wonderful insight. Please come back at your earliest convenience so we can go on this stuff. But this has just been such a great show. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, JD. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. And please, everybody, go to knowthename.com. Check out this book. We'll keep you guys up to date for when the new book is coming out. Tomorrow, Clint Richardson is going to be joining us. We're going to keep this week going strong. Stay tuned right now. Roger Sales coming up live. Keep it on TFR all day. Where else would you go to get information this interesting? Take care, everybody. We'll talk.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye.
Freaky Friday
with the Woo Crew.
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce.
Phoenix Rising Radio
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.